So I'm here with Dan Christensen. He's the Intel Counsel and Manager for Cybersecurity, Data, and Privacy. Mm-hmm. He's also an online instructor for BYU Idaho. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Brianna. Yeah.
So reading through your talk, then you talk a lot about social media and using the internet, and just with General Conference being yesterday, being over the weekend, how do you feel about speaking on this topic right after that?
Yeah, it's a privilege to be able to follow up something of that magnitude. This particular talk is dedicated to innovations, and like you said, a lot about social media and technology. At Intel, we're doing all sorts of innovative types of things with drones and artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, autonomous driving. And so I've tried to weave in a little broader topic on innovation and how it's inspired by the Lord, but also how we can use it effectively and appropriately and safely in today's environment.
In your talk, you actually end up using quotes that several people in conference ended up quoting too. I think one from Mother Teresa, I think one of the sisters quoted. How do you feel about, do you feel like you were inspired, I guess, on this topic?
Yeah, I think I was, because I turned this talk in a long time ago. And so it's interesting that General Conference, they would talk about some of the same things. But it also reinforces that these messages are really important for our day. The Mother Teresa talk in particular has really led my life for a number of years with my wife and my mom, who are here with me. It just says it so simplistically and so forcefully about how, you know, it really isn't, your life really isn't about you and other people. It's between you and God. And no matter what people do to try to tear you down or tear apart what you've done, the fact is, as Mother Teresa and others have exhorted us, to just keep building, and because it is between us and God. It never was between us and them. And I really like that quote. I'm glad that General Conference, that they quoted that as well.
So I wondered also, could you tell us a little bit about what you do, like at work?
Sure. So I'll start with Intel, then move to my even funner job at BYU Idaho. At Intel, I'm the group counsel, the global group counsel for cybersecurity, data, and privacy, legal. So I'm an attorney, but I have people under me who work on cybersecurity issues. At Intel, we have 217 petabytes of data, growing at 50% per year. One petabyte of data is like listening to your favorite song for 2,000 years. So we have just an enormous footprint of data, 56 data centers worldwide, a lot in the cloud as well. And it's growing at just a voluminous rate. And we use that data for a lot of things, for artificial intelligence, to help cars with their 2 million sensors drive autonomously without you driving them. Maybe within 5 years that will happen. Drones that light up the sky, 5,000 of them at the Olympics, as you recall, doing slaloming skiers and pictures in the sky that fireworks could never do, let alone now delivering products right to your door. So all of this there are people that want to hack into this. They want to ruin it. And my job as a lawyer is to protect that and to make sure that our 217 petabytes is safe and that these products are safe from hackers that are nation-state funded, organized crime-funded hacktivists who would like to find ways to turn off your refrigerator if it's got fast food in it, or some other Greenpeace perspective that they're going after, or insiders. So with all that as background, Intel also gets hit 13 billion times a day by malware. So 13 billion hits, people trying to get into our network. And it's important to keep safe. And it's a lot like our family, right? With the family, you need to protect your environment. You need to protect your home through family home evening and scripture study, prayer, going to church. All those things protect and reinforce your home. And so in my job, I get to live protecting an organization with different tools, much like we protect spiritually our homes. I just want to say one other thing, Brianna, is my real passion, though, is teaching, and that's why I wanted to teach at BYU Idaho online, because I could do my job in Arizona and worldwide, but still be able to get online and be with students. Driving up here, I went to the Enterprise rental car counter, and a wonderful guy named Zane said, "Hey, you were my teacher while back for the business law class. I know you. And he upgraded me, by the way. So that was nice. I mean, not that it's all about the kudos, but I was really happy that he said, yeah, I loved your class and it really affected me. When you can have an education that mixes secular with spiritual education, that's the way God intended it from the beginning. It's not just about the secular. It's got to have that spiritual component. That's what I really love about BYU Idaho.
When did you first discover that you really enjoyed teaching?
Wow, probably when it might have been when I went on my mission to Italy. I went to Sicily, so teaching the mafia down there was interesting.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we saw some interesting things. It's a great place. I've been able to take my wife there a time or two since. But I really found a passion for teaching, but I taught all in Italian. So when I got home, I realized I can't teach in English. I don't know. I didn't have the tools to teach in my own language. So I got really into teaching at the MTC down in Provo, as well as taking the seminary program. And I wanted to be a seminary teacher. But the year that I was to come out and be a seminary teacher, Texas had gotten rid of its release time law, so they had to displace about 300 teachers, and there were no jobs. So I went to the dark side and went to law school, so to speak. And a year into law school, they called me and said, hey, we have a job for you, Preston, Idaho. But I was already committed to law school. So that teaching experience, though, those being with children and kids that say, you know, you've really affected me somehow or made me better, that's really what this life's all about. It's not about making the money or trying to, you know, get the next win. It's really affecting people and helping them on their way, because that's what the Earth Life, that's why we're here.
I understand that you spent a lot of time, was it in Africa or South Africa,
mm-hmm.
Doing humanitarian service down there. And I wondered if you could tell us about that.
Thanks, Brianna. That's a great time in my life. My wife was nice enough to let me go. And the Intel sent me on a humanitarian project with five other people. We were to construct mobile environment, be able to allow them to experience in these Zulu tribes up really in the middle of nowhere. One place we worked in was called Ingwe, which was the name for leopard. So there were a lot of leopards there, and you could hear the baboons screeching when leopards were around. So it was an interesting experience. We'd stay in huts, grass huts, with little barbed wire around it, and we'd say, well, what's that for? And they would tell us that's to keep the hippos away at night from crashing through your hut. So there are some disconcerting things about it. We saw 13 lions devour a water buffalo in about 48 hours, and it was a new life. But to your question, the humanitarian part, which is the most important part, was helping these children who we're going to face a life of drug addiction and really just becoming part of the society, the norm that they were in, an uneducated, difficult life, just selling things. Every time we'd put fiber optics into the ground, they would pull it out of the ground and make baskets out of it to sell it because they didn't know what fiber optics would do for them. And so trying to get it safely in the ground and safely available to them so that they could see what it's like to look at Jupiter online and think about being an astronaut instead of just thinking about being a drug user or drug lord. Help, you could see the change in their face as they would watch the computer and learn what PowerPoint was or something very simple. And to them, watching them cry and say, this is going to change my life. This is going to make me aware of what's going on outside of my little village. That's kind of that expansion that I think God wants for all of us. So that humanitarian project was very special to me.
So kind of to your point, like they were saying, like, this is something that could change my life and it's something they'd never seen before. But, you know, we're around technology all the time, like every day. So how can we kind of have like the same experience with technologies that we see, you know, every day?
Yeah, it's a good point because we take it for granted. It's so close to us and everywhere within our lives that I think a lot of times we just expect it to work. We're upset when there's a little bit of downtime. Maybe we use it inappropriately. And I'm not just talking about pornography. I'm talking about video games. The overt use of video games. I was a video game player. I loved my college football game. And at one point, my wife and I were traveling through Europe and I was praying and the Lord said, you know what? You're not being temperate with this. And I thought, a video game? Wait a minute. This is one of the things that are in bounds, not out of bounds. But for me, the Lord said, you know, it's not about just being a stress relief for you. When you make something idle, I-D-L-E, an idol, I-D-O-L, then it's too much. And I think the same is true with texting. A lot of people can sit right next to each other and text each other with never saying a word. We even have people coming to work at Intel, millennials mostly, who say, I just want earbuds. I'd never want to have use my voice in a conference call. Just text me if you need me. And it's a new world that we need to deal with, but we also need to be grateful for why was this technology put here in the first place? And I really believe, Brianna, it was put here so that we could, so that people like you can broadcast General Conference to the ends of the earth, get the message out prior to the last coming of Christ. That doesn't mean to say we can't use it for other purposes that are good and noble and upright. But when we use it for improper purposes, the Lord is unhappy, and I think there will be blessings removed from us if we don't use technology the right way.
And you actually talk about in your talk something that you're doing to use technology in that way. You have a Facebook group, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a medianary.
Right. Yeah, I came up with the word every member a medianary. I'm not a very good marketer, as you can see. but our stake decided we were really going to hit this pretty hard and over time try to figure out what those social media platforms were all about, what they were really trying to get at. And as I've learned in my life with data at Intel, your data is being monitored. What you're watching and what you're looking at sends a message to the marketers and to the social media creators that, you know what, maybe they need to be fed more pornography or bad things because there's a need for it. If we do genealogy, they're going to start making products around genealogy. So your data is being tracked. And in our stake, I created a Facebook page for our stake. But because it virals to people in my network, I'm an Oxford grad, I've got Chinese friends and Middle Eastern Muslim friends and everything. People from Western China, through my Intel or Oxford networks, will call me up or text me and say, what is this Church of Citrus Heights stake? You know, and I'll explain, well, it's actually the LDS Church. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, as we know from General Conference, it's our church, and here's some of the tenants. And I'm able to bear testimony to people who would never have even seen or heard of any of this. And I think that's what technology is about. And Facebook, Instagram, all these networks, if they're used for the right reasons, just weave in, like set a goal for yourself. One time for every hour online, I'm going to bear my testimony or refer to something about the church in some way and set a goal. Not that hard, but it'll be amazed how far your voice will reach.
Is there anything in your talk that you wish you could have included?
Yeah, there's so much to say on this. And I know a lot of people roll their eyes and go, yeah, we've heard about the social media thing. What I really wanted to include in my talk that there's just not the time for is probably how important it is that we, how do I say this? How important it is that we realize who we are. I touch on it a little bit, but in the talk, I had to skinny it down. So let me just try to paraphrase it. The reason why we are grasping for something in life, I really believe, is because of the preexistence, where we basked in the glory and love of God for eons of time. And this is my own thought, not anyone else's, but I believe in it. I believe that when you're basking in love that much and then you're sent to a rock like the earth with a veil, you yearn for something. And I see people using social media. I see people using extreme life activity, drugs, sexual indulgence, anything to feel that rush, that little quiver and that feeling. They all are physical sensations that mimic the spirit and the love that we've probably felt all the time for eons of time. And to get that principle out was very hard in just a couple of lines for this talk. But I think if you really think about what you're yearning for, it's that feeling of doing service. My wife sets up apartments for refugees on asylum. Nobody asks her to do it, but she does it anyway because it gives her a good feeling and she helps people. And she's a good example of that. My mother, too, who's sitting right next to me, taught me that at a young age. You know, service will always be something that will give you that feeling. Go snow blow 8 driveways before you go to school. And I didn't want to, but, you know, she instilled that in her home, like my wife does in our home. And long story short is, if you want to satisfy those urges, you need to find what those urges are and dig down deep, because those urges are actually coming, I believe, from the preexistence where we basked in that love. And I've been a jail minister as well, and the inmates would really resonate with that, saying, you're right, sitting here all alone with nothing, we just want to be loved. And I really want to convey that, but I only had like 2 sentences to do it in. So,
right. Well, thank you so much. That's Dan Christensen.
Thank you.